Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. 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 All right. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. I'm not going to give you a title quite yet. I'll give you that at the end of the message. But if you would help me to pray, and let's ask for God's help and his anointing upon this service. Lord, we love you today, God. We're thankful, Lord, for your precious word, God. We're thankful for your presence that we felt here, God, and for every person that's here today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God, and we thank you especially for your many blessings, Lord. God, pour out your spirit, Lord. Anoint this word to every heart and to every life. We will be sure to give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated if you're going to help me this morning. Praise God. Okay, nobody's standing up. Good. All right. Praise God. That verse that we read here is referred to, if you do any study into the Bible, there are several dispensations, there are several covenants. That verse of Scripture there in Genesis chapter 12 is referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. This was a covenant that God had made with Abram. And this was the beginning of sorts for the nation of Israel. After this came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know the story how Jacob's name was changed to Israel. This was the beginning of that nation. Amen. This covenant stated, and we read it here, that God vowed to make a great nation out of Abram. God told him that he would bless him and that he would make his name great. Amen. Any of us here today would be excited for that, wouldn't we? Amen. We would be, if God told you today that he was going to make you a great name, amen, that he was going to give you prestige and honor, and that he was going to bless you, and that he was going to make a nation out of you, you'd be pretty excited, wouldn't you? Amen. Even on a Sunday morning, you might be shouting. Even on a Sunday morning, you might be running these aisles. Amen. If God had told you that, if God said he was going to make a great nation out of me, you know, once I got past the shock and the awe of God speaking to me and telling me that, I'd have a bounce in my step. I'd have a swagger in my step. Amen. I'd have a big old smile on my face because God told me he was going to bless me. God told me he was going to do something great through me. Amen. I'd be going to work on my job. I'd be saying, yeah, you know, God blessed me pretty good. Amen. Yeah, he called me. People would be asking me, what's going on with you? Why do you have such a big smile on your face today? And I could tell them, well, you know what? God blessed me. Amen. God called me. Praise God. Praise God. And I would have a reason to. I'd be walking on cloud nine. Amen. If God told this to you this morning, amen. If God told you that he has a purpose for you, if God told you that he has a call upon your life, amen, you'd go to work tomorrow with a huge grin on your face. Amen. We pray about seeking the will of God, seeking God's will for our lives. Amen. If God dropped it in your lap and told you, this is what I want you to do, this is the direction I want you to go, you'd have a big old smile on your face. Amen. People would be looking at you like, what's going on with this guy? What's he so happy about? Amen. Oh, but Brother Reed, God never told me any of that. I've been praying for a long time, and God's never mentioned that to me. God's never told me that. We're talking about Abraham here, so we'll get back to the story. Abraham had it easy, didn't he? Amen. God worked it all out in his life, and the Bible says he was blessed, right? Amen. If we read on through the remainder of Genesis chapter 12, we can see that Abraham didn't receive the blessing in the way that you or I might think today. You see, God told Abram to leave his family. He told him to leave all of his friends, everything that he had ever known, to go somewhere, but he didn't even know where he was going. He was going to a place that God would eventually tell him. So he had to go into his house, and he had to go to his family, and they had to pack up their belongings. And they had to just leave the city where they were living, but they didn't know the direction they were going. They didn't know what city they were going to. They didn't know the direction that God was going to lead them. They just had to trust. Why would God do something like that? Well, I'll tell you from experience, sometimes God has to lead us away from things or from people in our lives so that we can make room for God, so that we can make room for the things of God. Amen. Abram had to leave his friends and his family that were no good for him so that he would be able to do the will of God that God was calling him to do. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. It tells us here that there was a famine in the land. Now wait a minute. God said he was going to bless Abraham. A famine doesn't sound like blessing to me. Amen. If you fast for a day, if you fast for 3 days, you may not think that that's a blessing to you. Amen, but it is. Amen. There was a famine in the land. And that may not seem like a blessing. Now Abraham doesn't have a home, and he doesn't have any food to eat. How can a person be blessed if he doesn't have these things? You know what? Blessing means more than having a nice house. It means more than having a nice car in the driveway. It means more than nice clothes to wear and money in the bank. Blessing is more than those things. Amen. Sure, those things can be considered blessings. God does bless us in these areas. But I want to tell someone today that you can be blessed by God if you don't even have two nickels to rub together. Amen. You can be blessed if you have nothing. In fact, sometimes we recognize the blessings of God more when we're in this situation. Sometimes I think we confuse the material riches and the possessions of this life with blessings, because that's what this world calls blessings. Amen. But wealth is not a blessing. Amen. Wealth is a comfort, but wealth is not a blessing. Have you ever heard the saying that money can't buy happiness? Amen. And we may think, if we have no money, we may think, well, they've never been in my situation, because if I had money, I'd be happy. But I've seen people that have all sorts of money, and I've seen their children playing. And I remember watching in a particular situation that their kids would go from one thing to another thing, from one toy to another toy, trying to find something to entertain them, trying to find something to make them happy. And they never did find it. Amen. Amen. Wealth is not a blessing. Amen. You can have all the money in the world and you can be miserable. In fact, most of the rich people in our world are miserable. They're very lonely. They don't have purpose in their lives. Yeah, they can go make some more money, but it gets to the point where you have so much money, it doesn't mean anything anymore. You can buy everything that you want, but you cannot buy the true happiness. You can't buy something to fill the void that God put in your heart and in your spirit that only He can fill. Amen. Most people who are rich are so extremely empty. Amen. Amen. They can buy everything they want, but they're still searching for something more, something greater. So what was Abram's blessing? How did God bless Abram? God told Abram that he would be the father of many nations. Amen. That's great. That's awesome. Anyone would be excited about that, but there's just one little problem. You see, Abram didn't have any children. Amen. Without children, he couldn't be the father of one nation, much less many nations. Amen. I wonder how many times Abraham got discouraged regarding this promise. Amen. I wonder how many times he doubted whether he had truly heard from God. And we've all been there. God speaks to us. God gives us a direction, and we stand upon it. But then time passes and nothing happens. Nothing. We don't see the manifestation of the thing that God told us. And we can get discouraged. We can get discouraged. We can begin to doubt. Did I really hear from God? Did God really talk to me? Amen. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.' And Abram said, 'Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. Someone else is going to take everything that I've got. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. God spoke to him. God confirmed his word to him. And he said, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. He said, look up in the sky. Tell me what you see. Can you see the stars, Abram? Can you see the stars in the sky? If that were able to number them, he said, so shall thy seed be. It's kind of difficult to believe that you're going to have that many offspring when right now you don't have any. None. But verse 6 tells us that Abram believed. Amen. He says, verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it unto him for righteousness. Amen. He believed the Lord. He believed what God was going to do. I want to tell you today that if God has given you a promise, if God has spoken to you, you can take it to the bank. It's going to come to pass. God cannot lie. Amen. If it was a word from the Lord, now there are times when we infuse our thoughts and our motives into the word and into the mind of God. We try to believe that God said this, God told me this. But if you have a true word from God, you can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. Because God cannot and does not lie. It is not physically possible. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Praise God. We know the story. We know that God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many nations or father of a multitude. How is that possible if you have no children? Because God said it was going to happen. That's how it's possible. Amen. I don't know how it's going to happen. I may not understand all the details of how God's going to work it out. And oftentimes we don't. We don't know how God's going to work it out. We don't know the details. We don't know the timeline in which He's going to work it out. But we don't have to. I don't have to understand those things. I just have to know that God made me a promise. Amen. So what happened? We know. We know the story. We've read it 100 times. God gave Abraham and Sarah a son. Amen. And they named him Isaac, which means laughter. And I only know that because we looked it up when we named our son Isaac. Amen. Abraham must have been thinking to himself, God's doing it. God's working it out. Can you imagine? I don't know how long Abraham had to wait for this to come to pass. But can you imagine the excitement in Abraham when that son was born unto him? And he said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's starting. It's happening. God's working it out. God's keeping His promise. He gave me a son. This is awesome. Praise God. What a blessing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We've been there. We've experienced times in our lives when God speaks to us and it may seem like it's never going to come to pass, but then when it comes to pass, it's almost, you can't keep your emotions together. Tears begin to stream down your face and you just get so caught up in the moment. God, I this is the fruition of the promise that you gave me. That God would love us enough to first of all speak to us and then to confirm it by making it come to pass. And so Abraham and his family kept living for God. And Isaac, he grew up, and no doubt his parents told him all that God had promised to him. Amen. He told him that the promise was for our descendants and that it would be carried down through him. Can you imagine the pressure on that young man? Okay. All right, Dad. No pressure here. Everything was going great until one day the Lord spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter number 22 and verse 1, we know the story. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Lord, I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still listening for your voice, God. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Again, he tells him to go somewhere, but he doesn't give him specific direction. Not yet. Now, wait a second. God, you told me that you were going to bless me. God, you told me that you were going to give me a son. You promised me my son. And then you gave him to me. God, you kept your word. You kept your promise, God. But why are you asking me to do this? Why would you do this to me? You can't tell me that those thoughts didn't go through the mind of Abraham. He was human just like you and I. And if you have children today, you can understand what this meant. I have to give up my baby. I have to give up my child. We don't know. I don't know how old he was, but I know that he was old enough, that Isaac was old enough to be able to walk on his own and to help his father. And so they had had many years of life living together and getting to know each other and falling in love with each other. You can't tell me that Abraham didn't question what was going on. But Abraham had been obedient to God up to this point. He had followed God's every commandment. He had walked with God for years. And now this. Why? We know why. The Bible tells us God had to see where Abraham's heart was. As if all of the things that Abraham had done up to this point was not proof enough that he was willing to do whatever God told him. God wanted to see if he truly feared him, if he truly followed him. He wanted to see if Abraham truly loved him and would be obedient unto him. James chapter number 2 and verse 21. Turn there with me this morning. James 2 and verse 21. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. He believed God again, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Amen. Up until this point, was he not the friend of God? Had he not followed everything God had commanded him? But God wanted to see if he would withhold the thing that mattered more to him than anything in this life. Will you withhold anything from me? And Abraham didn't. He was obedient. He believed God. He trusted God. He knew that if this son of his that God promised to him was slain, that God was going to work it out in another way. That God was either going to resurrect him or give him another son. Amen. He was obedient to God. I don't know about you, but I want to be the friend of God. Amen. I want to be somebody that God can rely on. Amen. We rely on God a lot, don't we? Amen. I rely on him every day of my life. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. But we need to be somebody that God can rely on. I want to be somebody that God is able, I want God to be able to speak to me and know that I'm going to obey his word. That he's not going to have to go to somebody else to get his will done, but that he can use me. Amen. That may mean some difficult times. To Abraham, he had to literally give everything that he had into the hand of God. Everything. Through good times, and we like those, don't we? And through bad times, and we don't like those. Abraham had to trust God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Because God's not going to ever lie. Saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured. Patiently endured. We don't like that part of it, do we? We could almost forget about that. We could just leave that verse out and go to the very end of it where it says he obtained the promise. Amen. Because we like that. We like the part where we obtain the promise. But we don't like the patiently enduring part of it, do we? There are going to be times when we are going to have to patiently endure so that we can obtain the promises of God. Amen. Amen. You might say, well, that's not a blessing. Blessings are good. Blessings are positive. Those things aren't good. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 tonight. This morning, excuse me. Romans 8 and 28, it says, and we know that all things, and if you look up that word all, it's not profound. It just means all, everything. Everything works together for good to them that love God, and I believe we all love God here today, and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who's called here today? Is anybody called here today? Every single one of us are called. Well, I'm not called to be a preacher. You're called to live for God. You're called to do something for God. You are called according to His purpose, to do His will. Amen. All means all. And it doesn't say that all things are going to be good. It doesn't say that. Sometimes I wish it did. Sometimes I wish in living for God it said all things are going to be good. But it doesn't say that. But it does say that all things will work together for good. I mean, that means that the bad things in your life are going to be able to work together to build something or to build character in you or to change you or to mold you into what God needs you to be so that He can use you for His glory. Amen. To those who are the called according to His purpose, not our purpose, not our will, not our plan or our design. We are called according to His purpose because His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Our ways are going to naturally seek for self-fulfillment. Amen. You could say amen to this morning. Whether you say amen or not, it's still true. Our ways will naturally seek for self-fulfillment and selfishness. That's our human nature. But God will always lead us out of this selfishness to something greater than us. If we allow Him. Amen. If we allow Him, God won't force it on you. This whole all things work together for good sounds familiar to the story of Abraham, doesn't it? Amen. Abraham went through some difficult times. He went through some hard times, probably harder than we would. Amen. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse 2, we read it this morning at the very beginning. It says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great." Let's stop there for just a moment. We really like that part, don't we? I want to be a great nation, God. Use me. I want to be blessed, God. I'm right here. Open the spout and pour it out upon me, God. Make my name great. I don't necessarily want my name to be great, but God said He was going to make Abraham's name great. But the verse doesn't stop there. If we read on the verse 2, it says, "And thou, you, will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." He said that thou or you are going to be a blessing. That carries all the way down to you and I here today. This covenant that God made with Abraham, it wasn't just for him, and it has not come to fruition. It has not ended yet. It was not just for the nation of Israel. This covenant, this Abrahamic covenant, applies to you and I today. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 29, it says, "And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Amen. God blessed Abraham and his descendants so that all the nations and all the people around them would see the blessings of God and so that they would desire what these people had. That's the way God intended it. God blessed these people. God blessed Abraham and his family and his descendants so that the other heathen nations would see just how great of a God they served. And they would want what these people had. I wonder today, when we go to work, or when we're in the grocery store, when we're going through the course of our day, are we portraying something that people will see in us and desire what we have? Amen. 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 This applies to us because we are Christ. Amen. Every single one of us, we belong to Christ. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we are the heirs of the promise that God made with him. That means that we are blessed today. Amen. Brother Deontay said it earlier. Who feels blessed today? Does anybody feel blessed? Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed, Brother Reed. Why? Why do we feel blessed today? Because we have a nice house? Because we have a nice car? Because we have money in the bank? Because we have a nice clothes that we're wearing to church and we look good when we come to the house of God? Amen. So what was it that God blessed Abraham with? It wasn't money or possessions. It wasn't land. And yes, God gave him all of those things. And they did bless him. But there were other people in the day that had more than Abraham. There were other people that were living that had more wealth and more riches than Abraham did. And there are people that are living in the world that we live in today that aren't living for God, that have more money and possessions than we do. So if we're blessed, then we can't look at those things, because if we believe that way, then we would believe that God has blessed them more than he has blessed his children. And we don't believe that. Amen. The thing that blessed Abraham more than any of these earthly possessions was God. Abraham had God. I know that's very basic today, but Abraham had God. He had a relationship with God. And that was something that the heathen nations, that the people around him, they didn't have. And they didn't understand. Amen. Abraham had a relationship with God, so much so that he was called the friend of God. And because of this, people could see something in Abraham that they didn't see in other people in the world. When we go to our job, people need to see something in us that they don't see on other people that work on the job. When we go to the grocery store, oh, well, no, I'm not going to see anybody at the grocery store. You don't know who you're going to run into. You don't know who's listening. You don't know who's watching. Amen. We need to be able to be a light for God. Abraham had a relationship with God. He was called the friend of God. Amen. When people saw him, they saw something different in him. When they looked at him, they didn't see a man who was blessed. And they did, don't misunderstand me, but they saw the God who had provided the blessings. It wasn't about Abraham. Amen. It wasn't about this individual. He was just a faithful vessel that God could use. And I want to tell you today, that there, Abraham is no different than any one of us here today. If we will allow ourselves to be a faithful vessel for him. The real blessing was God in their midst. And it's no different than us here today. That's our blessing. God is our blessing. God's Spirit in us is our blessing. What's our greatest blessing? The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know where God's leading us. He may lead us this way and that way and this way. We may go 100 different directions before we make it to heaven. But we have a hope. We have a hope of glory. We have a hope of resurrection. Amen. We have a hope of eternal life today. The greatest blessing that God can give to anyone is when he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. When he puts his Spirit deep down inside of us and he writes the laws upon the tables of our heart. Why? So we have to, thou shalt not, thou shalt know. It's so, I want to be a friend of God. I want to draw close to God. I want God to work in me. And so if this is something that God is not pleased with, I don't want to do it. That's what holiness is. Holiness is not a set of standards or rules. Holiness is not a guideline that we have to follow A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Holiness is having a holy God living inside of us and a desire to please him and not inflict some type of grievance on that holy God that's living inside of us. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me. God will not cohabitate with sin. God will not cohabitate with the things of this world. If you want those and you want those things in your spirit, that's fine. God will make room for them. He will leave. And God forbid that he ever leave completely to where we have none of him left in us. Amen. But it works both ways. If we want the things of God, and we push out those things of the world, and we get those things out of our heart, God will fill that void that we make for him. Right. Amen. God will do that for each and every one of us because he desires to dwell completely within us. Amen. The Bible compares us to Christ as fellow heirs. I don't know how that doesn't make sense to me. I feel like I fall so short. Amen. But we know that in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God dwelt in him. And I want every bit of God that he wants to put in me, I want it to dwell within me. Well, God could do that. You just pray. Just, God, I want you to put every part of you in me. I want you to push out anything that's not of you. And that's a great prayer to pray. But sometimes it takes not just faith, but works on our part. Sometimes we are the ones that have to push the things out of us that are taking the place where God should be. Sometimes we have to push out the things of us that are not meant to be there, that God is supposed to take their place. And we have to pray. We have to say, God, I never realized that this had gotten such a foothold in my life. I never realized that this was taking such a big part of my life. God, I'm going to give it to you. And not just in words, but I'm gonna take some actions and I'm gonna get it out of me. Right. Amen. Amen. This blessing that God puts inside of us, this Holy Ghost power that God puts inside of us, it isn't just for us. Amen. Yes, we get to enjoy feeling the presence of God. How many love to come to church and be able to feel God's presence? I never take it for granted. Amen. During prayer, during the song service, whenever you begin to feel the presence of God, never will I take that for granted. We love that. We get honor. We get the honor of knowing him and walking with him and hearing his voice. Yes, those are all blessings. But it's not intended that we hide it in a napkin. It's not intended that we bury it in the ground. Amen. When we went to Passing the Torch a couple weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, whatever it was, the young people heard Brother Bradley Smith. And this gentleman is very tall, very distinguished looking. I didn't know who he was. I leaned to my wife. I said, "Do you know who that is?" And she said, "No, I don't know who it is." And he got up there and they announced him as Bradley Smith. And once he started preaching, I knew that he was related to Brother David Smith. It's his oldest son. I didn't know that. And Brother Rose probably did. I introduced myself to him a little later, and he spoke very highly. He said that his dad speaks highly of our church and loves Brother Rose, loves our church. Amen. But he preached to us on Thursday about doing something for God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it got a hold of me. He preached about the parable of the talents. And I've heard that parable so many times. I've preached from it before. But he said, and he related the talent that was given to each of the men as their portion of the kingdom of God that they had put, that God put within them. Amen. To some he gave five, to some he gave two, to some he gave one, according to their several ability. Amen. If you think about it, God puts his spirit inside of you, doesn't he? Amen. What's the spirit of God but the kingdom of God? He puts the kingdom of God in us, not just so that we can keep it for ourselves, but so that we can produce increase. Amen. Amen. He did it so that we can share it with others, so that we can get increase, so that we can gain interest, if you will, so that when the master comes back, we can say, God, see what you gave me and see what I've done with what you gave me. God, you gave me a little piece of the kingdom of God. But I have the choice. Am I going to keep it for myself? Or am I going to put it to the users? Am I going to try to gain upon what you've given me? Am I going to try to increase your kingdom? Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9. Turn there this morning. 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Sounds good, doesn't it? But why? Why are we all those things? Why are we a chosen generation? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a holy nation? Why are we a peculiar people? If we read on, it says why we are. It says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims upon this land, that's what we are, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, that means your lifestyle, honest amongst the Gentiles, that's everybody that we're with, the people that you go to work with, the people that you see every day, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, by the things that they see you doing, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amen. Amen. When the world sees us, they need to see Christ in us. Amen. They don't need to see our good works. They need to see our good works that we're doing for Him. And they need to glorify God because of those good works. Amen. How do they do that? They see something in you that makes them want what you have. And they come to church and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. And they glorify God in their spirit. And then it compounds. And then they do it. And they live it. And people see it in them. We need to see and we need to be able to show forth the good works that God has done in us. We shouldn't be being selfish with what God has given to us. We need to share it with somebody else. Amen. And we've all fallen short of this, haven't we? Every one of us, we fall short because we get busy. We get busy with the things of life. We get busy with the cares of this world. We get busy on our job. We get busy in our schooling. We get busy in the course of a day. I've got to get to the grocery store. I've got to get back because I've got this much time and I don't have time for anything. But what if God's wanting you to be that light in that grocery store aisle to somebody that passed by you? And you walk by them and you got a sour countenance and a bad mood. You're in a bad mood and you got a frown on your face. I'll tell you what, if I've got that, nobody wants what I've got. But if I've got a smile on my face, amen. Maybe on my way to the grocery store, I just need to pray, God, give me a joy as I walk through this store. Oh, well, that doesn't work. People can't see that. Yes, they can. People notice when you're a child of God. People notice when there's something different about you. Amen. So much so that you'll have people say things like, there's something different about them. Or when they need somebody to pray for their needs, who do they call first? They call the church. They call people that they know are going to touch God and be able to feel after God and be able to take those needs before the throne of God, and God's going to hear them pray. Why don't they take them to their other friends? Because they know that there's something different. Amen. One more verse as Sister Reed comes this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 8. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that's what we're called for, that ye should inherit a blessing. Amen. Who wants to inherit a blessing today? I do. It's not a trick question. I want to inherit a blessing today. If we desire to be blessed, we have to understand something. Amen. And you can use this as my title today. And if you don't remember a single word that I said this morning, if you don't remember anything of this message this morning, I want you to remember this, okay? We are blessed for the blessing of others. That's why God blesses us. We're not blessed for ourselves. We're not blessed for our families. And yes, though we can take on the blessings of God, but we are blessed for the blessing of others. If God blesses you financially, praise God for it. But use it for His kingdom. Doesn't mean you have to give everything that you own for the kingdom of God. But don't be stingy with it. Don't hold it. Don't wad it up in your hand or bury it in the ground. If God has blessed you, do something with it. If God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, He did it for a reason. And it's not only so that you can be saved or so that I can be saved. God fills us with the Holy Ghost. He puts His Spirit inside of us so that we can be a light to a lost and a dying world. That's the world that we're living in today. Our world is lost. Our world is dying without God. That doesn't mean they're physically dying, but they will physically and spiritually die without Him. They'll be separated from Him for eternity if we don't reach them. And if we aren't His hands and His feet, if we aren't vessels, faithful vessels that God can use to reach somebody. I know that we've all fallen short of this calling that God has placed upon us. I have. I'll admit that today. I've fallen short. I haven't reached out to as many people as I should have. But if we get the mentality in us that these people are going to a devil's hell without us interceding for them. Oh, well, God can send somebody else. Yeah, He can, but why should He have to? God could have used someone other than Abraham, but Abraham was faithful. And God was able to use him in a mighty way. And God was able to pour out blessing upon him. And what did Abraham do? He gave it to other people. He showed other people. Amen. He showed the nations around them that there was something about this great God that Abraham served. Amen. As Brother Smith said in his message, we've got to do something. Do something. Well, I can't preach. God hasn't called me to preach. That doesn't matter. Well, I'm busy and I've got this. Make the time. I've got to do something for God. And just because one person is doing this doesn't mean you have to do that one thing. Everybody can do something different. But please, do something. Do something. Make it a point through the course of the week. God, I want to reach somebody today. God, lead me to somebody today that I can talk to. Let me speak a word of faith to somebody on my job. I may not see it come to fruition for years. And sometimes that's how it works. But God, let me do something for You. And I'll tell you what, if you have that mentality that you want to do something for God, the Bible says, He who is faithful in that which is the least, God will entrust more. If you're faithful in the little things, if you're faithful to do the little things for God, if you're faithful to do the smallest thing for God, then God will open the door that you can do more for Him. I've got to do something for God's kingdom. As Brother Smith preached that message, it's like I was talking about Abraham when he had his son. And finally, the promise of God had come to him, and the excitement and the joy came to him. And when I heard that, when I heard him preaching and what he had said, and I felt the presence of God so strongly upon me, I couldn't control my emotions. I broke down and I began to weep before God. And I told God, I've got to do something for you. And I know there are people here, you're doing something. I'm not downplaying that. But can we do more? I do things for God all the time. I try to be involved in every capacity that I can be in. But I can do more. I've got to do something for God. Amen. Somebody needs to make up their mind this morning. Amen. Let this service be a starting point of a new way of thinking. As you go through the course of the day, don't let it just be about you. Don't let it be about your four no more. Amen. But let's put our hand to the plow and let's see what God will do. Let's never look back. Amen. Let's do something for God. Amen. Let's see revival in these last days. Amen. If God came back today, I would rejoice. I'd be excited. But I'll tell you, a part of me would not be, because I have family members that are not saved. I have family members that don't know God. I have friends. I have people that I work with that I've never had the opportunity to tell them something. I've got to do something for God. Why don't we stand together this morning? Amen. And if you like, just right where you are, if you want to come, you're welcome. But let's just lift our hands and lift our voices right now. Why don't we just reach out to God? And let's ask God, if it's in your heart, I'm not telling you, don't do it if it's not in your heart. But if God has put it in your heart to do something for Him, why don't you just reach out to Him right now? Why don't you ask Him, God, what would you have me to do? God, what would you have me to do in your kingdom? God, use me. When the Lord spoke to Abraham, He said, Abram. And Abraham said, Lord, here am I. God, I hear your voice. God, and I'm willing to obey whatever you say to me, Lord. Come on, let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you today, God. Thank you for your faith.